Professor Ginsberg, ladies and gentlemen, it is a very great pleasure for me to have this opportunity this afternoon to speak to you under these somewhat novel circumstances, which have in fact dictated the choice of my particular topic this afternoon. I shall describe our work on cephalosporin C. This is a lecture which is said by some to be not without a certain historic interest. And since the Technion, led on by Dr. Pachornik, has revealed itself as the only place in the world with the technical capacity to record this lecture, I was urged to choose this particular topic. That means that some of what I will discuss this afternoon will perhaps have been read about by some of you, but perhaps I shall present the material orally in a somewhat different way from that which you've read. I don't know. I never know what I'm going to say in these lectures until it comes out. And furthermore, there are some new things which have developed since our work in this area was published. I'll just make one further introductory comment. Professor Ginsberg said there will be no questions at the end of the lecture. I hope that that's correct. That is, that there'll be no questions in your mind. I presume he meant no questions will be asked. I'm afraid that I can't promise you that there won't be some questions in your mind, but I hope that there won't be too many. Now, cephalosporin C is a natural substance. It is produced in the course of the metabolism of a microorganism, Cephalosporium acrimonium, a microorganism which was discovered in the sewage of a small Italian town by the mayor of that town, who happened to be an amateur microbiologist. His discovery was brought to the attention of Abraham and his colleagues at Oxford, and after a very painstaking investigation, Abraham isolated the substance cephalosporin C in the early 1950s. The work was published, I believe, in 1955. Now, cephalosporin C was not without practical interest because it was found to exert a moderate action against various pathological organisms, somewhat similar in quality to that exerted by the penicillins. But the special feature of interest about the biological activity of cephalosporin C was this, that while quantitatively its activity was not high, that activity was not destroyed by penicillinase, and consequently, the activity was found to be maintained against microorganisms which had become penicillin resistant. So this led to a special practical aspect of interest in cephalosporin C. Now, I should like first to draw for you the structure of cephalosporin C, which was established about half a dozen years after it had first been isolated, established by Abraham and his colleagues, again, on the one hand, by chemical methods, and on the other, by Dorothy Hodgkin, by X-ray crystallographic methods. Their work was published simultaneously, and they agreed upon the following structure for Cephalosporin C. Now, if you examine the structure, you will see at once that it has some unusual features and that it is reminiscent in structure of the penicillins. I mentioned already that the biological activity of cephalosporin C was similar to that of the penicillins, and so is the structure. Now let me, in order to illustrate that, draw below this the structure of one of the better known penicillins. At the bottom, then, one has penicillin G, and at the top, cephalosporin C. And now let us note first the similarities. Each of them contains this very remarkable and special four-membered beta-lactam ring. In each of these molecules, that structural feature represents a point of very special instability and reactivity. That is to say, the four-membered beta-lactam ring in penicillin G and that in cephalosporin C. Undergoes very ready hydrolytic cleavage at this amide bond. Indeed, this very reactive structural feature is known now to be closely associated with the biological activity of both substances.